I'm Oliver Rennick here, wrapping up Taking Stock. Markets down today and down across really all equity indexes year to date. A pretty rough start for risk. Our next guest, however, encourages what he calls a big long. It's Bill Smead, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Smead Capital Management in Seattle, Washington. Bill, thanks for coming. Tell us about this trade of yours.
Well, it's pretty simple. If you've seen the Big Short movie or read the Big Short book, you know that people made billions of dollars by looking at a series of warning signs that residential real estate was ridiculously overvalued in 2005 and 2006, that consumers were behaving ridiculously, borrowing against their homes and using them like an ATM. Regulators were asleep at the wheel. Banks were a party to it, et cetera, et cetera. And then you look at today, and you have exactly the antithesis of that. Households are saving 5.75% of their gross income. The interest rates are very low and attractive for mortgages. The number of human beings that are at the age of forming households is the largest since the 1970s in relation to total population. It's just all setting up for the next 5 to 10 years to be one of the great eras in home building, and therefore an underpinning to the United States economy that it hasn't had any time in the last 5 or 6 years.
So, Bill Smead, I want to ask you about a stock that maybe exemplifies some of your strategy, and that is J.P. Morgan. Right now, the shares yield 3%. The stock is down 14% so far this year. Look forward 3 to 5 years. I would imagine J.P. Morgan's still going to be around.
Well, yes. And, you know, Pim, that's a great one to ask about, because late in the movie, The Big Short, when they come in and point out that a lot of bankers have not been accused criminally, et cetera, et cetera, to use an example of a banker that did misdeeds back in the problem era, they had a picture of Jamie Dimon in the movie.
Now, didn't he come in and with J.P. Morgan manage to acquire and help and somehow fix and organize Bear Stearns and WaMu?
Yeah, he did the federal government a huge blessing. He had financial capitalization that did not require TARP. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo were the most stabilizing financial institutions and have proven to be as good a citizens as you could ask for. And that is the irony. The babies are being thrown out with the bathwater. So here's what's so important and what we think a lot of people are missing. But also, we call it the big long because the people that put the big short trade on were right about the residential real estate thing and the mortgages collapsing for a year without the securities that they owned benefiting from it. And we kind of feel the same way right now. We've got the securities we think, like J.P. Morgan, that could benefit from residential housing doing quite well. And it is starting to do quite well, but the securities prices aren't exemplary. So in J.P. Morgan's case, there's two things. One, of course, they're a mortgage participant. The demand for money would cause interest rates to go higher. It would certainly be good for the earnings of the bank. But a second thing, very much underestimated by everyone right now, is it's been so long since average Americans operated under any premise of being prosperous that the animal spirits and the velocity of money are low. I can't imagine what it would mean to J.P. Morgan and other major financial institutions if the velocity of money picked up to more historically normal levels. In other words, if they could just get a little teeny nick out of a whole bunch of transactions that aren't happening right now, what would that do for their profitability?
Bill, so it kind of sounds like this is essentially sort of a reversion trade on really the situation here that sort of spurred on the financial crisis. As you point out, this is that very thing was the subject of this big movie. Everybody kind of, you know, is very well aware now what happened. So my question is, on this trade going forward, is there any risk of this sort of rebound trade getting crowded? Are people going to be realizing, hey, it's time for this sector to pick back up?
Well, I love you asking the question, but it's our theme is only the lonely can play. It's very lonely in this trade right now. Let me just give you a few historical numbers to help you frame this. The household formation between 07 and 14 is so far and away the worst nominal stretch, meaning not adjusted for population, but just straight absolute numbers, of the last 65 years. Now, that wouldn't be, I mean, that's a pretty good mean reversion thing right there.
So
but now let's add this fact in. We have the highest number of humans as a percentage of our population in the United States the last 7 or 8 years at the age that people normally form households. And the last time we had a concentration of household formation age people was in the late 70s. And of all the homes that are lived in the United States of America right now, 10% of those homes were built between 1975 and 1980 at mortgage rates of 15, 16%.
Okay, Bill, so when you say a lot of people aren't in the trade, I'm wondering why is that? Are they sort of seeing the short-term headwinds to a lot of these financial companies and saying they don't want to be exposed to that right now?
People don't want to participate till it's right in the whites of their eyes. Until you see sizable first-time home buying statistics and stunning, you know, we built 540,000 single-family residences this year, which is 60-70% higher than in 2011.
We've got to leave it there. Bill Smead is the Chief Executive, Chief Investment Officer, Smead Capital Management, $2.2 billion under management, based in Seattle. This is Bloomberg Radio.